Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the fan on this Thanksgiving Eve. We are down with the king topic of the day. We started the show 2 hours ago talking about the possibilities of the New York Giants head coach. And for me, while we've been talking about this since the day Dable's been fired, I never really had a firm, definitive answer on who I wanted. And then yesterday's report with Josina Anderson saying that multiple owners would be interested in at least talking with Bill Belichick about being the next head coach for their team. She didn't name any team specifically. She said two teams were interested, potentially a third. It just made me further think. Belichick was always one of the names that I was bringing up, but it made me further think about Belichick. And then also when you compare it to the other options that are out there, and when you look at where the Giants are at, this is not a full rebuild here. And while some are higher on the Giants than I am, I don't believe that they have much talent. Everybody's saying, oh, they have great talent. Oh, they're 11 wins next year. I'm not so sure I'm going to go that far. They may be better than they will this year. Just like everybody said the same thing last year. Oh, they got to be better. Giants should have better, more wins. Like, and what if they have a quarterback and blah, 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 blah. What if they stay healthy on the offensive line? Okay, well, they have the quarterback. They've been healthy on the offensive line. The defense has sucked and they're still 2-10. First team out. Second straight year. I mean, call it a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. They've been bad. So, and they've made changes in accordance with that, and I expect more changes to be made. But it's not a total rebuild. So I could disagree with some who say that they have 11-win talent. They still do have some pieces in place, in particular the starting quarterback with Jackson Dart. So it's not a full rebuild. It's clearly a situation in New York with the way the Giants have gone. They cannot go again with an inexperienced first-time head coach that's a quote-unquote hot coordinator. It just won't work. Okay, so then what are the other names that are coming up if you're going to go that way, an experienced head coach? Mike McCarthy keeps coming up. I don't think Mike McCarthy is particularly good. I think he's okay. Average, better than what the Giants have had. And sure, I think that they'd win some games with him. He'd make them better. I don't think he's as good as Bill Belichick. No, let me rephrase that. He's not as good as Bill Belichick. Girlfriend or not, I don't care. Record, the final year in New England or with the Tar Heel, I don't care. Mike McCarthy is not as good as Bill Belichick. As a matter of fact, I think if Bill Belichick went to Dallas instead of McCarthy, he would have won more than McCarthy and potentially a Super Bowl. And as the caller brought up before, if the Bills do fire McDermott, that would be a perfect opening for Bill Belichick. Go there, beat up on the Patriots as well. Go get some revenge on them because you have the best quarterback in the league, arguably, with Josh Allen. And he would improve that defense. He would just raise that program. If I'm the Bills, I'd do whatever it takes to get Belichick. But we're not talking about the Bills. This is New York sports talk. And even though the Bills play in New York, they don't really. You know what I mean? Who cares about geography? So from a Giants perspective, find me the better name to be their next head coach. Anybody that you say would be taking a chance if it's one of the younger guys. And even me, I love Brian Flores. I think Brian Flores is going to be a tremendous head coach, assuming he gets another opportunity. I liked what he did in Miami, and I think their issues had nothing to do or had little to do with him, and it was more everything else. So I love Brian Flores. And if the Giants ended up with him, which they probably won't because of the suit and all that stuff, I would be happy. But I was also happy when the Falcons settled on Raheem Morris. I was like, hey, you know what? I wanted Belichick, but I understand it. I was open to the thought process of hiring a younger guy with potential, good coordinator, had some experience as a head coach. I understand it. You don't want to go with the 73-year-old who maybe is on the decline. And look what happened in Atlanta. To a point where all those guys probably will be and definitely should be fired at year's end. And if I'm the Giants, I'm not taking that chance. Even on a guy like Flores, who I really believe in. This is not the time for that. I'm going with the known commodity, no doubt about it, elevator. And that is Bill Belichick. I'm not saying he needs to pick all the talent, because obviously he showed he couldn't do that with New England. He couldn't rebuild that team after Brady. Won some games with Cam Newton, won some games with Mac Jones, ultimately couldn't rebuild that team to the level that he had it at for so many years, for decades. So he's not going to rebuild this Giants team. He doesn't have to. He has to elevate it from where it's been. And with the right combination of, to me, it would be Thomas Dimitroff, who is now with the Saints. BT and I had him in here during draft time, and he was in studio with us. He had tremendous success as a front office member, GM. He might have been even the president of the team, I forget, but definitely the GM with the Atlanta Falcons. They had success. And look what happens. They fire him for a guy in Fontenot. 5 years later, the Falcons have gone backwards. So I would love the combination of Dimitroff and Bill Belichick, if at all possible. I don't even know if that's realistic or not. And I would fully expect the Giants not to be in on Belichick. It doesn't mean it's the right thing. That's what I would do. It took me a few weeks or a month, however long it's been since Dable got fired. Belichick should be the guy the New York Giants go after. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll have Nick Costos coming up later this hour, get you set for the full slate of Thanksgiving games. Tomorrow, three good games, and of course, week 13 as well. We'll have our perfect parlay picks segment, which will include the Turkey Day teaser, so plenty to get to. We'll power up later on as well. Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Anthony is in Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Sal. What's up, man? Thanks for having me on. Happy Thanksgiving, baby.
You too. Thanks for calling, man.
Now, with the Giants, listen, whether it's Tomlin or Belichick, I think it's hard right now to really sink my teeth in it, only because the reality with Tomlin is it's not a reality right now. And Belichick, there's so many questions. But I agree with the notion that they need an experienced coach. That's where I would, lean towards, and I think that's the better direction. However, they need to, be realistic that, just because it hasn't worked here with the new coach doesn't mean it wouldn't work again. You just have to look at both sides.
That is true.
Ben Johnson. So you just have to play devil's advocate there.
Now, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that, and we've gone over it. So I'd be curious then who you want. Look, there is no definitive answer, right? You can win with a veteran coach. You could win with the first-time head coach. You could lose with the first-time coach. You could lose with a veteran. I'm just saying what I would do. I've had enough, and I would go get Bill Belichick.
I'm with you as well. I think Belichick would be the way to go because of just the history, and I think he's overall defensive prowess. The problem I have, at least, I know everyone's with the GM, I firmly believe, and this is my belief, that this team is better talented than their record simply because the coaching has not been good enough. That doesn't excuse it, but that's just my personal belief. So getting rid of Shane to me isn't the end-all be-all because I do think there's enough talent where they should have won. Now, regards to Kafka, I think it's very, it's a very hard conversation because I do think now as Giant fans, we need to be very realistic here. This guy could get a head coaching job somewhere and do very well because I think he could be a very good head coach. I don't want that to blow up in our face because if he goes at the end of the year, gets a job, and he becomes this great head coach, it's going to be one of those, oh, look at the Giants, got rid of another coordinator, got rid of another guy, and he's flourishing.
So would you run it back? I mean, we have five more games here, and I'd like to see Jackson Dart with Kafka. It's hard to make a decision on Kafka.
I'm with you, and I think the best decision Kafka made was, everyone said he should have got rid of Bowen in week one. Let the guy get his feet wet, being a head coach first, and then the second week, he had to get rid of Bowen. It wasn't going to last long. And that's why I firmly believe, when people talk about the Giants, at least in a vacuum this particular season, this team, people were talking about kicking the field goal, not kicking the field goal. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Vilma, even on the broadcast, was saying, oh, why did the Giants do that? He obviously hasn't watched any Giants games this year. I had zero confidence that the Giants, even if they kicked that field goal, I would have bet my house, my mortgage, that they were going to go down the field, They were going to kick and score a touchdown, and then they would have lost the game by the extra point like they would have done. That's been the MO this year.
Agreed. If you watch, agreed 100%. I love everything you said there, Ann. And you have anything else? Go ahead. You sound like I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah, just real quick. No, it's all good. I just really want to lament the fact that I know people want a clean house altogether. I just really think when you look at the roster, and you have to account for injuries because they do matter. When you don't have Neighbors, when you don't have Scadaboo, 2 games ago when you didn't have Holland or Paulson Adebo. Now Holland's been a little bit, Adebo's been a lot better. You know, obviously they can't cover anybody when those 2 guys are out, but this team is so much more talented. And when Dexter Lawrence has problems, it's not Lawrence. The problem was the coordinator. He was with this stupid rotation all this stuff.
We're going to see now with the new defensive coordinator. And thank you for the call, Ant, and happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate the call, appreciate the passion and insight. I don't think they're as talented as you think, but I do think that they're more talented than what their record says. They're not. They should not be as bad as the Tennessee Titans, and they are, or the Saints, and they are, for a variety of reasons. The offense at some points, the head coach, the defensive coordinator, the defense, certainly, that's been the one constant. So I agree with a lot of what you're saying. And the one thing, while I would definitively say, if I had to make the hire, if it were me selecting the next head coach of the NYG, it would be BB. I'm going with Bill Belichick. But while I say that, I am now, and I'm also somebody who the one thing definitively that I said I would never do is bring back Kafka. I wanted nothing to do with anybody here. Shane, see ya. Kafka, see ya. I would be inauthentic. What's the right word I'm looking for? Lying to you, lying to myself. I have to be open-minded and react to what I'm seeing. And I'm being honest with you and myself and saying that I've been impressed so far with Kafka, the way that he, forget about the in-game management stuff. That all these coaches outside of Bill Belichick have issues with that stuff, which is in part, by the way, why I want Bill. Clock management, all that stuff. In-game decisions, nobody's better, the X's and O's, than Bill Belichick. Nobody was ever, nobody will be better than Bill Belichick. It's going the wrong way, as a matter of fact. So forget about that with Kafka. I'm talking about holding guys accountable, whether it's Abdul Carter, whether it's Shane Bowen. Kafka's done a good job for an interim head coach where too many times, I mean, you could reference Ulbrich last year with the Jets, too many times I've seen the interim head coach come in and be kind of timid or trepid, as I look for the right adjective, where he's not taking the bull by the horns and saying, I'm the head coach. Because the interim label, it's hard to really do that. Because you're not really the head coach. You're just holding the place for the head coach. But what he should be doing is saying, all right, well, technically I'm the head coach. Interim or not, it says HC next to my name. Here's what I'm doing. You, your bench for the first play of this game or the first drive of this game. You, you're fired. All those things, just taking control, holding guys accountable, also supporting his players. It's a fine line, especially today's day and age. And I think Kafka, and I maybe even more important than those things which I love the way the offenses look, not just about the points scoring, because the Giants did that with Dable, but about the design. And forget about the, you know, receiving touchdown from Jameis Winston. Yeah, the trickery, that's fun to watch. I'm talking about the way he runs the football. The pass plays that they're calling. This is not a resort to your quarterback's legs to score points, which is the way that they were looking under Dable. They couldn't run the football. They're much better running the football under Kafka. They stick to it. They make it an emphasis, and they do it well. Now, I'm curious to see how that looks when Dark comes back healthy. My point is that I may have been, I believe what I believe for a reason on wanting to fire Shane and clean house and moving on from Kafka. However, it doesn't mean that that would be the right decision. And if Kafka continues to show positive signs here, I could understand why somebody would want to be patient and give him the opportunity. Still be tough for me to overcome all that I felt. It's not going to happen in just 2 weeks. I need to see a lot more. But maybe me being dismissive of that was the wrong thing, or so dismissive of that right from jump was the wrong thing. Again, unfortunately, it's going to take years to figure out what's going to be the right move or not. They could say they're going to keep Shane and Kafka, and it might take a couple of years to find out if it were the right or wrong thing. They could hire Bill Belichick, and it's going to take a couple of seasons to figure out if it's the right or wrong thing. We won't know. You could have your opinion, I could have mine, and then ultimately the Giants are going to do what they think is the right thing. And unfortunately, theirs is the one that matters, and they're the ones that keep getting it wrong for the better part of a decade. But at this point, I would move on from Shane, and I would look to hire Bill Belichick. Robbie is calling from Lenox. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, Sal. It's finally good to talk to you in the afternoon. First of all, we both had a very tough year, your brother-in-law, my brother, and so my sincere
goodbye. Sorry to hear it. Yes, you as well, Robbie.
Wyatt. Thanks, buddy. Listen, I'm so happy for you all the years. But I talked to Schmooze last week. Did you read the book yet, by the way?
Mm-hmm. I haven't read it. So. Yeah, I read the whole book. I read the whole book, great. And we had him on. We had him in studio, yeah. BT and I. He was great.
Yeah, no, I saw. I talked to him a couple of days last week when he was on by phone. And congratulations to Keith. But I'm just grateful for you. Listen, I agree with you 100%. Look, sometimes. No, I agree with you 100% about Shane. He's got to go. I do think the Giants have a lot of talent, but they have no talent after the front four. I mean, their linebackers stink, and their secondary is awful. I do think the guy they got from Miami, I think he's pretty good. I think Javon's a pretty good player. But Debo, who knows? Banks is terrible. He should have been cut. Look, you've got to bring in somebody else. Would I bring in Bill to coach the team? I love Bill. Come on, Bill loves the Giants. I was hoping the Rams would win the Super Bowl, and then McVay would come to the Giants. That's awesome. But honestly, Sal, here's my basic thing. The guy I would really like to have is a guy like John Gruden. And I agree with you. By the way, I changed my mind. I agree with you. I would have gone for the touchdown, too, because I talked to Tiki after the game. And I said to Tiki, they would have won 31-30. He started cracking up. But seriously, you know, you're right, though. I think that they got to bring a guy in with experience. I mean, they have some pieces, though. Think about the pieces they have on offense. Now you got to have a linebacking core. Sal, they haven't had an all-pro linebacker since Antonio Pierce. It's 25 years ago already. So I agree with you. Get rid of Shane. And also, I'd like to say about the Yankees, Hal Steinbrenner, what the hell is he doing opening his mouth?
I don't want to do the Yankees, Robbie. I'm sorry to cut you off there. That's just a touch screen and my thumb was over. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I don't want to get into the Yankees right now. We did a lot of that yesterday. I mean, what is this, the overnight, Robbie? Come on. If the overnight, I'd sit back and take a little bit of a breather and you could go for 5 minutes on whatever topics you want. Stick to the topic at hand here. We're on during the middays.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll have more of your calls as we come back. Nick Costos coming up at 12:40. Get you caught up on all the picks. Yeah, the only knocks on Belichick is his age. I'm not saying from me. I'm saying from people. His age and his girlfriend. And then some people want to say, well, he didn't win with New England. You know, at the end. He actually had a decent record considering Cam Newton and rookie quarterback Mac Jones. He had one bad year. Is he not allowed one bad year? One bad year? It was just time for a change there. And in North Carolina, you can't judge him on 1 year. I know he's the greatest coach ever. He's not going to work miracles in 1 year at North Carolina. I would take a chance on. Doesn't mean it's right. It's what I would do at this point. Who knows what's going to happen with the baseball hot stove, although I would expect now maybe to be a little bit quiet until we get up to the winter meetings, which are not the first week in December. That is December 8th, if I'm not mistaken. That week of December 8th. Anyway, should have some action there. Look, the Mets and Yankees should be busy, as per usual, with these two teams. I mean, where they're at, with the finances that they have, all that stuff, with the moves that they need to make to be better than the Dodgers, there should be a lot of action this offseason with the Mets and Yanks. So BT and I will have you covered starting next week. We'll be back together again Monday, 10 a.m. You know, I mentioned last weekend, or last week, going into last weekend, that I was going to go see the movie Wicked. And normally I'm not a musical guy. I mean, I've seen plays on Broadway. So I saw Wicked with my girlfriend years ago, with my then girlfriend, now wife. That was one of the first plays that we saw. I don't even really remember it. I remember enjoying it, but I don't really remember it. I've seen Book of Mormon and Rock of Ages, certain things like that. Some of the more popular ones. And when I was living in the city, I would go to the plays all the time. But I'm not a Broadway aficionado. And I certainly don't like musicals. When I watch current day movies, I mean, I grew up on Grease, so I love that, but I'm not a big musical guy. But Wicked was, I think, nominated for one of the best picks last year, and is one of those things that we get as a member of the union for SAG. We get sometimes screeners for that. And my wife and I watched it, and I freaking loved it. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was the best movie of the year by far. Couldn't get enough of it. Now, it was long. I loved it so much I wanted to watch it again before seeing the new one, and my wife was like, no, I love the movie, but that's too much for me. She's saying that, but I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't wait for the sequel because it was a major cliffhanger. You're like, I need more. What's going to happen here? So we bought tickets to go see it this past weekend, and we saw it on Saturday, I guess it was. Right, obviously not on Sunday. We saw it Saturday. And BT was joking, oh, you're going to get dressed up for it? I was like, no, I'm not getting dressed up for the movie. And then I get there, and people are dressed up in, you know, Wicked-type gear. The Wicked Witch or Glinda, whatever it may be. Anyway, I have not been that excited to go see a movie, or I have not been more excited anticipating a movie to that level since probably The Hunger Games, which, I mean, going back in real time, that's as good as it gets. The Hunger Games was so good, it inspired me to go back and read the books. I couldn't wait for the releases. I needed to go read the books. I'd read the first one, second one, and then by the third one, I was like, all right, I'm ready for the movie. But either way, it was tremendous. So this was a highly anticipated movie for me. And we went to see it, my wife and I, and I don't want to say I was disappointed, but it was not as good as the first one. It was good. It was good, not great. Good, not great. Which saddened me a little bit. Because, I mean, you're going to go pay, you know, the $50 to go see the movie. I think it was actually $40. And then on top of that, we had to get a babysitter because we're not taking our daughter. She's not going to sit in the movie for 2.5 hours. She doesn't care about Wicked. So it was really like a date thing. So you get the babysitter plus the movie plus the food. And my wife made the rookie mistake of wanting to eat some food there. I'm like, it's not a good idea to eat food at the movie theater. Like popcorn, yes. Whatever candy you want. She settled on the Reese's Pieces Bites or whatever. Okay, because they didn't have Goobers. Okay, fair enough. Soda, sure. I'll get a water. You get a soda. And then of the options, I was like, I don't know, maybe like the pretzel bites, thinking it would be like Auntie Anne's or whatever, you know, those good pretzel bites are. And they were not. They were cold-ish, stale-ish movie theater pretzels. So not very good. But that's another expense, probably $50 for all that. So you're talking, you know, go see a movie? Oh, well over 100 if you factor in the babysitter. It better be good. 2.5 hours on a Saturday, that's free time. That's valuable free time. And it was good, not great. Now, if you saw the first one, you're going to want to see the second one. I want to see the first one again. That's how much I love that. And it was a nice conclusion, but I don't know. Again, I would never say don't go see it, because if you saw the first one, you have to see the second one. I would just lower the expectations if that's your thing. Rosie, you went to Wicked at all? You seem like a Wicked guy. Are you a musical guy?
Not particularly. I watched Wicked.
You saw the first one?
Yeah, with my niece.
Okay, and?
It was fine. It was.
Well, you're dating now. You've evolved.
Yes.
Okay.
I've evolved.
Well, yes. I mean, forever I've known you weren't dating at all.
Correct.
How long have you been dating?
6 months.
You finally get off the dock?
Yeah.
Well, okay. What? You know, she doesn't want to go see Wicked 2?
No, I think she's probably going to see that with, like, her nieces.
What do you mean? You don't want to go see a movie as a date?
No, I don't need to see Wicked number two.
As you know, what do you mean you don't need to see it? First of all, it was a great. The first one was a great movie, so you should want to go see the second one.
Oh, I thought it was good.
Okay, but then you have no interest in seeing the second one?
I'm not saying I have no interest, but I don't need to see it like they need to see it.
Okay, so your girlfriend really wants to see it?
Sure.
Do you go with your girlfriend?
She's got something else going on with the other family, with her nieces. It's fine.
I got to be honest, it's not a good sign. Are you spending Thanksgiving together or what?
We are.
Her house or yours?
Combo. We're doing a combo situation. So tomorrow's a long day.
Oh, nothing says ruining a holiday like the combo between the families. Oh, I did that one year and never again. Never again would I do that. And unfortunately,
too long of a day for you?
Oh, too long of a day. Come on, man. We went to my wife's family's house for the beginning of the day in Jersey and then drove in the middle of the day to my family's house on Long Island. Disaster.
We're doing something similar.
Dude.
Jersey to Connecticut.
No. If you survive this, that's a good sign for your relationship. I would say that. That's going to be, oh, God, no. Dove, you into Wicked? You watch movies?
No, sorry.
BT, it's on me.
How'd you watch football on that Sunday?
Saturday. I watched Saturday, Wicked.
No. When you went from your wife's family to your family.
You're talking about on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't. I had to listen to it on the car. I was miserable the whole time. And my issue is, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm an emotional person, and a lot of times I wear my emotions on my sleeve. And my wife does not like my, she calls it stank face. And in my mind, I'm just, in my own head, I don't realize what my face looks like, but I'm just like, when are we leaving? When are we leaving? Because then I get anxiety about not only the traffic, but getting to my family's house. My whole life I've spent holidays with my family, and I understand that, you know, it's part of the sacrifice you make when you get married. Or when you start dating, part of the sacrifice. Although there's no chance that if I were dating somebody, I shouldn't say no chance. I guess it depends. Depends on how caught up I was. But I would never want to leave my family's house, especially if I'm just dating somebody. When you're married, it's different. You gotta compromise. That's what it's all about, right? Compromise. But I can't hide the fact that I'm not settled in where I am when I feel like I need to be somewhere else. Not to mention the 2-hour drive. Not to mention the games that we're missing. You're right. It was a Thanksgiving that I won't forget for the wrong reasons. And some people take that and they hear, oh, he doesn't like his family. No. I mean, does anybody really like their in-laws? But you know what I'm... No, they're fine. It's not that. It's just that I'd rather be in one spot. Pick a spot. And it would be on my couch at my parents' house. That's where I want to be. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Joe is in Dutchess County. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, Sal? Quick question. How come nobody's talking about Doug Peterson? Yeah. Great running Eagles with the Eagles.
Yeah, I think because it went so poorly. Peterson was a highly sought guy before he got the Jacksonville job, or at least was a guy that was brought up many times. It went so poorly in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence that I think it's hard to want to go down that road again. He had his second opportunity and wasn't any good.
I think the key here with him is that I would keep Kafka and I would bring in Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz was in the Eagles staff with him.
Yeah, and you're going to have Schwartz be the head coach of this team?
No, defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, but why is he, I know who he is, but he was the head coach, obviously, of the Lions before and a very good defensive coordinator. Isn't he with Cleveland right now, Jim Schwartz? Why would he leave for a lateral move?
He's with Cleveland. Yeah. Cleveland's not going nowhere. I think there's more talent in New York.
Yeah, but
in Cleveland.
Cleveland's got an excellent defense. Their defense far better, and thank you for the call. It's not a bad thought to bring up a name like Doug Peterson or Jim Schwartz. I would not go down that road. I'm either going for the greatest of all time, or I'd be open to just Kafka or a first-timer with potential. I would, if you tell me I can't have Belichick and Tomlin's not on the table, I'm going for Brian Flores. And if you tell me that I can't have him, then I'm saying, well, you want me to win games or not? I mean, I guess I could see what Kafka would do with Jackson Dart, but it wouldn't be even my third choice. I would not go Doug Peterson or Jim Schwartz myself. That would be me. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll take a break. Come back with Nick Costos. Get you set for the full slate of games tomorrow. And then obviously week 13 ahead on Sunday as well. Obviously you can check him out as well Sundays as I do every morning. Has been for 12 straight weeks. We'll do again this week ahead of week 13. Sunday morning, 8 a.m. right here on The Fan. Nick, how you doing on this Thanksgiving Eve?
Oh, what's going on, big boy? Happy early Thanksgiving to you, your family, all the listeners out there. What a great time to be alive. Great weekend of football coming up.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well. And I was saying earlier, Nick, and we'll get into the Giants stuff and all that nonsense, but I really love the slate of games tomorrow. I was saying earlier, you know, this is a tremendous slate of football games on Thanksgiving. Usually we don't get this, but I think, well, not I think, all three games have some meaning here when you look at the NFL playoff landscape.
Absolutely. And the fact that Joe Burrow sounds going to be back tomorrow for the Cincinnati Bengals does add some juice to that game. It is a pretty big point spread tomorrow night. I do have a bet on that game with the Bengals and the Ravens, but tough to disagree with you. Where it does you feel like there's usually at least one lemon on Thanksgiving, I feel like whatever the Giants play, like it's usually not great. Just from, I remember Emmett Smith ruining at least one of my Thanksgivings as a kid. But all three of these matchups, to your point, absolutely awesome. Let's chop it up. Let's talk about it.
Okay, so I want to, before I get your thoughts on each individual game, just give me the advice, because I like to do a traditional Turkey Day teaser. We do it as part of our pick segment here as fun, but even before that, I've been doing it my whole life. You have recommended to me certain things about teasers. Generally, to me, isn't a standard three-team, 10-point teaser, is that the way that it works?
Yeah, so, I mean, I kind of don't, you can win that bet. I'm not going to tell you not to make it.
But you don't like them, right?
Well, it's just, you know, if you want me to, like, put on the make the best bet you can possibly make hat, then no, it's not a great bet, which doesn't mean it's not fun. I do an anytime touchdown parlay every week with long shots that I like. That's 75 cents to win $1 million. Spoiler alert, it's never won. and it probably never will. But I think it's fun, and I bet it every week. So I'm not going to preach to people or talk down to people and say, don't do this. What I just say is, bet responsibly. We can talk about, the best legs to do to try and maximize your ability of winning that bet. But do I think it's, a smart bet to be placed? No. I think a lot of people do stuff like this for fun. I think it's okay.
Exactly. I would do it for fun. And by the way, I like your idea better, because the Turkey Day teaser pays out. You get to pay, -120, whatever it may be. Maybe we combine my thought with yours and do, a Turkey Day touchdown parlay. So give me, I'm assuming you have some of that. If you don't, then just go to the first game, Packers and Lions. But if you have something with anytime touchdown scores that would tie in all three games to give our listeners, our audience here, that we could play along with and have some fun with all three games for tomorrow while we're dealing with family nonsense.
Well, let me, I haven't done much, so I've done all my yardage that I'm doing, my full Prop King stuff on You Better You Bet today for the Thanksgiving games and Black Friday. And I know, what all my yardage props are going to be. I don't know about the touchdown stuff yet, but I can speak, in generalities about it, right? So, and then Sal, we can do the side and total if you want, but just props for the games. So coming up tomorrow, the first game is the Packers and the Lions, and Giants fans will remember this a couple weeks ago when Christian Watson was awesome in that game and had one of the plays of the game as Green Bay took the lead at the very end with that catch and double coverage, moving from left to right on the television screen in the corner of the end zone. He has been spectacular since coming back from injury for Green Bay, and what we have seen for the Packers is Matthew Golden, the rookie first rounder out of Texas, has really not popped. He's actually been kind of a bust to this point. And Green Bay seems to have settled on a three wide receiver set of Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs on the outside, Dontavian Wicks in the slot. And none of these guys are very good. Now, it's possible Jaden Reed will be back tomorrow. We haven't seen him since week two against the Commanders. But if Reed comes back, that really just bumps Dontavian Wicks out of the equation here. Watson is really the only guy, unless Golden, Sal, can start to emerge. And Golden, again, was the first-round pick out of Texas that can actually win down the field and win vertically. His receiving yards prop tomorrow is 52.5. I do like that over for Christian Watson coming up tomorrow. Christian Watson's anytime touchdown price sits at +210. It's not a great price, and I could actually do this in the moment for you. So, Green Bay uses all three of their tight ends with Tucker Kraft out, right? So Kraft tore his ACL. The Packers now have a poo-poo platter at tight end. Big time emphasis on poo-poo. They're all terrible. So it's John Fitzpatrick, Luke Musgrave, who was a second round pick last year. Kraft was a fourth round pick. And Josh Weil, who's a blocking tight end. They all play. So if they all play, why not bet the guy at the longest odds to score? That would be Josh Weil for the Green Bay Packers. He's currently at 12-1.
Wow.
And I do think at some point, and this is like a guess by me, at some point with Sam Laporta out, and he's out for the season likely for the Green Bay Packers, I think they're going to try and work in their third round rookie receiver that they traded up for in the draft to get. And look, if you're a Republican and you wake up tomorrow and you want to own the libs, you know what you can do? Bet on Tesla. Isaac Tesla anytime touchdown plus 500 tomorrow for the Detroit Lions against the Green Bay Packers.
All right, let's go to the sides and total in that game. Detroit-Green Bay, a huge game as far as the NFC playoff picture. And certainly the NFC North.
Oh, and by the way, Khalif Raymond, just who's normally Detroit's number three receiver, Sal, unlikely to play, which would help Tesla's ability to score a touchdown in the game. As far as the game is concerned, I do like Detroit at any number below three. So the number right now is 2.5 for the Lions. It is juiced towards Detroit. My guess is that we will close three by the time tomorrow rolls around, but somewhere in between this. And what I would say is, whether or not you, the listener, agree or disagree with my opinion on the game, give yourself the best chance to win. If you like Green Bay, find a three and bet plus three. And if you like Detroit, lay 2.5, not three. So I can be wrong. Give yourself the best opportunity to win and bet the right number, regardless of who you like in the game. I do like Detroit, Sal, and I think the Packers are kind of, as the kids would say, mid. The Giants were in that game until the end against Green Bay. And I know they were in the game against Detroit also. I think the Lions have way more talent than the Packers, and that'll come to roost coming up tomorrow. It's not my favorite of the three bets, but I'll have a small bet on the Lions to cover 2.5 tomorrow against Green Bay.
Plus, it's a Thanksgiving Day tradition, betting the Lions for years, whether it was Charlie Batch or Matthew Stafford, whoever it may be. I've been a sucker for the Lions, and now they're actually good.
And now you're probably poor as a result of that.
Right, it would always ruin. I'd always do these Turkey Day teasers, and then I have to reload with probably the total, you know, the over-under in the Cowboys game to get me through the day with the three legs, because I'd always lose the Lions to get things started. Although in recent years, obviously the trend has changed with Detroit. All right, game number two. This is an enormous game, Nick. Thank goodness I was rooting for your Chiefs last week to beat the Colts because I wanted this game to mean something. I was rooting for the Cowboys to beat the Eagles. I actually predicted that they would. I didn't think that was going to happen, down 21-0. But nonetheless, we got a huge game here with the Chiefs and Cowboys.
Yeah, I very much wanted the Chiefs to win that game last week. That was very important for yours truly. And down 20-9 at the end of the third, Kareem Hunt puts the ball on the turf. I was very, very, very nervous. So happy the Chiefs were able to come back and win that game. So point spread of this game, which like 50 million people are going to watch. The rating for this game is going to be astronomical. The Chiefs are a 3-point road favorite at Dallas. Total is 52. So injury stuff here. Isaiah Pacheco is going to be back for Kansas City, so you can get him in your fantasy lineups if you need him. George Pickens is expected to play, as is Rashee Rice for Kansas City. Both guys were nicked up earlier in the week. Now the Chiefs will be without their best offensive lineman, all-pro guard Trey Smith, which obviously going up against Quentin Williams and Kenny Clark, not great for Kansas City. But Sal, for me, the Chiefs kind of feel like John Wick. Like, they went away for a while, they hung out with their dog, and by doing that, they lost to, like, the Jaguars and the Broncos. And like John Wick said in the first movie, I guess you could say, I'm kind of back. And so are the Chiefs. And I feel like the Chiefs are about to unleash hellfire and brimstone on the league until the end of the regular season here. It's been a nice run for Dallas these last 2 weeks, and Just as an aside, this whole idea that every time the Cowboys defense makes a play now, we have to show Jerry Jones in the owner box grinning like the Cheshire Cat. This is like if I burn down my house and then rebuilt it and everyone said, wow, what a great job he's doing, rebuilt the house. I burned it down. Like, we're crediting Jerry Jones with fixing the defense. He broke it when he traded Micah Parsons. So I don't get that whole deal here. I do think Dallas is way better than it was early in the season. Is it better than Kansas City? Hell no. Give me the Chiefs to win. I think Kansas City wins by 7-10 tomorrow. My favorite bet of Thanksgiving Day.
Any props in that game that stand out to you?
Yeah, you know, since Rashee Rice came back, and this is really interesting because I would have actually felt it would have gone the other way because they both kind of win in the same way in the intermediate area over the middle of the field, that when Rashee Rice was going to come back, I felt like he was going to negatively impact Travis Kelce. And that has actually not been the case. Since Rashee Rice came back, Travis Kelce has been an absolute beast, and I feel like like every week his yardage prop's a little too low. I have it right here at BetMGM. Kelsey's number is 58.5. I think he can definitely clear 60. Give me the Travis Kelce over receiving yards. I don't hate Xavier Worthy over receiving yards also. He's at 36.5. I will be giving my full prop card out later today on You Better You Bet. You can find it in podcast form after the show goes off the air. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Travis Kelce over receiving yards for me.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Nick Kostos. Okay, a couple more games. The Sunday slate is not great. Plus, it's Wednesday, so I'm not going to ask you to go over all those games here, but I do want to get to the two more, the Thursday night game and then Black Friday between the Bears and Eagles, another huge game there. Ravens, Bengals, you mentioned it. Joe Burrow coming back. Is it fair to expect big numbers from the Bengals offense in this game? How do you see the Ravens and Bengals playing out?
So I think, you know, I do a lot of radio around the country, and when I talk about the Ravens-Jets game from last week, the assumption is that not a lot of people watched it if you're not in the Baltimore or, like, the New York tri-state area. So this is a great audience to have this conversation about, right? Because my thought on this game has actually nothing to do with Joe Burrow being back, and has nothing to do with Cincinnati. Like, Sal, you watched the game, obviously. You've talked about it with BT this week on The Fan. And I will just pose this question to the listeners out there as well, especially Jets fans. You watched that game. Do you think Lamar Jackson's healthy? I'll ask you that question,
no,
Sal.
No, I think something is clearly off with that. They're either protecting him from something, or they're trying to protect him, or he's banged up. I don't think he's 100% healthy. I think that's clear.
And the reason why we know that is, like, we've seen Lamar be incredible. Like, he's probably going to the Hall of Fame. Like, you don't just suck out of nowhere all of a sudden coming back from an injury. Like, I think he's clearly not healthy. And when you put a game on tape against the Jets like they did, where a Tyrod Taylor offense with no wide receivers, with Garrett Wilson out, averages more yards per play than the Ravens do against the Jets defense with no Quentin Williams and no Sauce Gardner, like, my antenna goes up a little bit here. Like, something's up. Now, like, Lamar is saying he's healthy. Zay Flowers is saying he's healthy. John Harbaugh is saying he's healthy. And maybe Lamar is finally shaking it all off, and maybe he has a big game tomorrow night. And if Lamar is Lamar, the Ravens are going to win this game by double digits because the Bengals have the worst defense in the league, and Joe Burrow will probably be shaking off the rust. But if Lamar looks like he did against the Jets and like he looked a couple weeks ago against the Browns, I think the Bengals can absolutely cover this number. The number is a touchdown. I'll take the 7 with Cincinnati. There is some concern built in with that, Sal. Again, the concern is if Lamar's healthy, the Ravens are going to win, and they're going to win big. I don't think he's healthy. Ergo, my bet on the Bengals getting 7.
We've talked about the Ravens defense, or I've heard you talk about it a lot throughout the course of the season, and it seems to have gotten a little bit better here, but do you trust that they could do enough to, let's say Burrow's not just shaking off the rust and he's pretty good, and even without Burrow, they scored a bunch of points, the Bengals did. You think that the Ravens defense is legitimate, or you still think that they're, you know, a little bit shaky to where the Bengals can take advantage of that?
So, like, you know, it's Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase is playing.
Right. Well,
so,
right.
You know, so, like, yeah, do I think the Bengals can score on anyone if Burrow's at the height of his powers, and we'll see if that's going to be the case tomorrow. I think the way that I would kind of view the frame the Ravens defense, I think the Ravens defense is going to be good enough to win the AFC North. I don't think there's any question about that. I have significant concerns about both Baltimore and Buffalo's defense once we get into the AFC playoffs, and it's why I've been consistent, Sal, all season long and in the summer, that I don't like either Buffalo or Baltimore to get to Super Bowl 60. So do I like the Ravens defense? Yes. Do I think it's a Super Bowl caliber defense? I do not.
All right, last game here, Black Friday, Eagles-Bears, another enormous game. Bears 8-3, somehow playing with fire all year long. Eagles finally got burnt themselves, but with the Cowboys blowing that 21-0 lead, how do you see this game on Friday?
You know, I've said all season and all offseason that the Eagles are my pick to win the NFC, and that I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. And this past weekend against Dallas was the first time I've been shaken a little bit in that belief. And the reason why, and like Giants fans will love to hear this, like Saquon Barkley kind of looks like he's done. And I'm not saying his career's over, like stick a fork in him. I don't know if we're at that level, but he doesn't look like the same player. He's not passing the eye test, and the stats aren't there when he goes 10 carries for 22 yards. And we're all football fans, right? We all watched last season, and we know that the Eagles' formula for winning a Super Bowl championship was defense and run game. And when you're up 21-0 in a game against any team, you should be able to choke that game out, to boa constrictor the game, by running the ball effectively and grinding out clock and trusting your defense. And the Eagles could do neither last week against the Cowboys. So I thought that was a little alarming. So I'm going to give you a thought on this game, and I'm going to bet the game. I don't know if I'm going to do it with an extreme amount of confidence, because the other thing that we need to consider is that the Bears' defense was so banged up last week against Pittsburgh. They still won the game. We don't know how many guys are going to be back yet. Their best corner, Jalen Johnson, he may play in this game. He hasn't played in a while. The Bears were down all three of their starting linebackers last week. How many are going to be back this week? We have 48 hours still until kickoff. I'm not 100% sure. So I can tell you the bet that I would like to make is Philadelphia, where I think this is a step up in class for Chicago. I think they've won a lot of games with smoke and mirrors, and I give them credit, but this is a step up in class. I'm going to like the Eagles, but I need to see more on the injury report, Sal. I am worried about Philadelphia, but make me pick the game. I'll lay the points with Philly.
Yeah, I get the sense as well, and I've been against Philadelphia all year long, specifically last week, but I just don't believe in the Bears at all. So either way, Nick, you tack that game on Black Friday. I don't know. What do you got going on Black Friday? You going to be shopping? You going to be at home? What are you doing?
We're putting up the Christmas tree.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Is this your daughter's first Christmas?
Well, last year was, this is the one where I would say she's 1.5 now, so last year was her first. But she knows what's going on to a degree now. She walks around the house all day going Santa, ho, ho, ho. So she loves Christmas already. Santa.
You get a fake tree?
Well,
come on, man.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if I can, because I'm implicating members of my family, potentially my wife, if I answer this question in the incorrect way. I will just say that it would be my preference to have a real tree.
Okay, that's what I need to hear.
And we can leave it at that.
We've never, I respect it. We've never discussed this before, but come on. I got you pegged as a real tree guy like I am. I understand. I get it.
I grew up in a small apartment with my mom, dad, and my sister on Northern Boulevard in Queens. And we had a real tree every year, and I think about that now, like, this is a small apartment with, like, 1,000 people in it. I feel like my parents weren't worried about a potential towering inferno in this apartment building. So I find that funny now after the fact. But just something about, like, the smell of a real tree, that piney smell, feels like Christmas. If I could choose, I would choose the real Christmas tree.
I got
But no. Unfortunately, Sal, as a fellow married man, you know that it is not always your choice in these
matters. I got you. You chose marriage instead, and you want to keep a happy marriage, so you got to do what you got to do. I get it. Happy Thanksgiving, Nick. We appreciate your time today. Enjoy the football games. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your families. I'll talk to everybody back at the Fan Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.